go a different route this morning and may just continue this for now. Turn to Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. A little bit of different stuff every once in a while. Help us out. Please, if you can, come Sunday night, Tuesday night. We're trying to teach. Come to Sunday school. Trying to get Sunday school going. Philippians chapter number 1. We're going to read through this chapter and then we'll get started this morning. Philippians chapter number 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Bishops, by the way, is another word for preacher. It's not any kind of exalted, put over a certain district. We believe that bishops, pastors, preachers, and elders are all the same thing. We teach and believe that according to the Bible, not because somebody makes it up. We believe that bishop is a pastor. It's a preacher. That's why he's saying here, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, forasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things, that you may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and others also, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding either way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Well, that's going to be our text verse this morning. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversities, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having this same confidence which ye saw in me, and now hear to be in me. Father, I pray that you would take the message now that you've touched my heart with this morning. And God, help us to live for Christ. For to live, for me to live is Christ, and to die is to gain, God. God, it is needful for these people, and for those, are not just those gathered here, but around this county and around this area. It's needful for us to be here doing a work, planting this church for your glory. I pray that you would, God, as we approach 1 year, I pray that, God, greater things would be done in the second year. More souls saved, the church will be added unto. Lord, we'd fill this place up. And God, Lord, just see great mighty things done, Lord, as we live for Christ and die to self. Help us now this morning. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. He says, for me to live, yes, Christ. Turn with me one verse. I'm going to go over 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Hold your place here because we're going to be right back here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. When I think of this, I think of this verse over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That we all, listen, it's time that we started to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 20. For ye are bought with a price. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Flip back over to Philippians chapter number 1 now. Here we are, listen. You've been bought with a price. And Paul said, we're to live, and to live is Christ. And I mean, we've got this mindset in our day and time where we think, well, I'm going to live for God on Sundays. And I only have to think about God on Sundays. And I know that I've been bought, but, you know, I can do anything. That's the world's mindset. I can do anything I want to. Can you imagine my mindset if I went to Barry and Joe's house this evening and I went and I said, you know what? I don't like this wall here and I'm going to tear down this wall. And you know what? I don't like the way this garage looks. Let's tear this garage off. And you say, well, that's crazy. That don't belong to you. Absolutely. You're bought with the price. You belong to God. And yet we continue to think that we can do and live any way we want to, and there's no repercussions. Paul said, to live, for me to live is Christ. Number one, my life is to be about Christ. It's not to be about Daniel anymore. I've been bought with the price. We sung the song this morning, are you washed in the blood? Do you realize what it took to wash buy you back? It took the precious blood of Jesus Christ, of God Himself, to purchase you. Nothing else would do. The blood of goats, the blood of lambs could never take away our sins. It took Christ dying for our sins. That's what you're bought with. My life is to be about Christ and nothing else. We're so consumed with worldliness in our day and time. Our heart doesn't beat after God. Man, that's the testimony. We've talked about this a couple times. Sunday night or Tuesday night, not long ago. And I think about the testimonies of the men of God. Abraham was the friend of God. And he had the testimony that he walked with God. But David, in all of his sin, in all of his
thinks David had a testimony that he was a man after God's own heart. Man, what would it do? What would God do with somebody in this place if we would get a couple, if we'd get a family after God's own heart? But we're consumed with worldliness in our day and time. We don't live for Christ. Our life's not about Him anymore. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. I want you to see what the Bible says in Colossians chapter number 1. Skip down to verse number 14. Our life's to be about Him. It's about time we started making it about Him. We're consumed with our kids. We're consumed with our belongings. But Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption. What? Through His blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. We've been bought with a price. That price is the blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. We are bought with that price, and it's His blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God? So we know this is talking about Jesus Christ, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him, that's why we know that Jesus Christ didn't just come into existence the day that He was conceived in the womb of Mary. The Bible says, for by Him, verse 16, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. Man, those are some good verses right there, but that's not even the verse I wanted you to point out. What I want to point out is here in verse number 18. He is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead. That in all things, all, what's all mean? All means all. All means everything. In all things, He might have the preeminence. What's that mean? He's in charge of all things. If He's yours, if you've been bought with the price of the precious blood, He's to have the preeminence in your life. He's to be what you're about each and every day. But we wonder why our kids and our families don't come to Christ. Because we mess up. Because we got our flesh get in the way. Man, how many times that we are not about God. For to me to live is Christ. Our life's to be about Christ. No, it's about me. Oh, what can I do for me today? Paul said, and this verse, and I can't remember, I looked at it last night, but I think it's in 1 Corinthians 15, don't quote me on that, but most of us know the saying, Paul said, I die daily. When our life's about Christ, we're to get up every morning and we're to die daily. God, let me die that You may live in my life. Let my life be about Christ today. When I get up in the morning, let my decisions be reflective of Jesus Christ and about Him. It's all about Him. That's the thing. Everything was about God. All the way back. I've got these verses, but for sake of time, we'll not go over. But first, Galatians. I'm trying to combine two of them together. Galatians chapter 2, it talks about the law, and then it talks about grace and schoolmaster. All that was about Christ to bring us from that first goat, those first animals slain in the Garden of Eden, to the day that Christ died on Calvary's cross, to the day He resurrected. It's all about Him. Till the day He comes back and rules, it's about Him. It's not about us. Too many so-called Christians make it about themselves. Well, you know, preacher, I'm here on Sunday. What else could you want from me? I don't want you. God wants you. God wants you. If you're bought with a price, you're not your own, the Bible says. You're His. Your life's to be about Christ.
That first part there, he talks about Philippians chapter number 1. And he says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. Paul said, it's not about me. He said, I'm an apostle. I've seen Jesus Christ himself. Imagine, God appeared to him. And in the end, Paul says, I'm just a servant. I'm just a servant of Jesus Christ. There in verse number 1. And he's thankful, verse number 5, for their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm thankful for those that have been faithful and stuck with us through the good times and the bad. There'll be maybe some more good time, bad times coming, and there'll be, Lord willing, I believe there's going to be a lot more good times if we'll stick through this together. But if we're going to do this, and we're going to see this church planted, it's got to be about Him. Every day of your life, it's got to be about Him. You've got to make a difference. You've got to be a testimony when you go to work. When you're on the job site, you've got to be about Him. You've got to show that it's about Him every day of your life. Well, preacher, that's your job. You're the one that's, you know, listen, we're all in this together. So that's what a lot of people think, especially where we're from. We've been through it. When we've seen a lot of churches think the pastor's supposed to do everything. I can't do it all. My family can't do it all. You know what that does? It burns out a lot of preachers. We was at a church down in Texas, and man, I heard back and I preached to them something similar to this, kind of. Wasn't this message. God just give me this one. That poor man of God there, he's older, getting on up in age, man. He was doing everything. Him and his wife, I mean, they're an older couple. They're the ones that cleaned the church. They mowed the grass. They're the ones that took care of everything. They're the only ones that went on visitation. They was doing everything. And man, he didn't tell me none of this. I just dropped in. We just dropped in. God laid on my heart. And I said, we're going to drop in here. Out of all the churches in Texas we had meetings in, this church is the only church. That church is the only church that supports us now. And it was a drop in. And all I did was rear back and I preached to them the truth about how to take it away. I didn't know a thing about it before I got up there. But when I got done and me and the man of God got to talking, he confided in me and told me a lot of that stuff. I said, that's God. That's how God is. God worked in those people's hearts. After we left there, he told me, they took us on, ended up after he retired, they took us on. But he told me after that message, they started stepping up and finally doing that. Listen, a lot of people, well, the preacher's supposed to do everything. Listen, man, God's just looking for somebody willing. Not everybody's got to be a preacher. Somebody's got to mow the grass. Somebody's got to clean the church. My kids don't mind doing those things. Somebody's got to be a door greeter. Somebody's got to go out with me on visitation and knock doors and invite people to church. Our life's to be about Him. Number 2, our life's to be about Him. Our life is to be towards Him. Too many people, they go towards their own things. Paul says in chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, most of us have heard this verse, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 14. But a lot of people know this verse. Even quote this verse, Philippians 3, 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I press forward. I press forward. Nothing's going to stop me. I continue on. You know, when a lot of times, and I'll be honest with you, I can't completely understand it. There's some things, I mean, I believe everything's in here. I believe what's in here is exactly what God wants us to have. But when I read the book of Acts, and Paul has set his face toward Jerusalem, if you read the book of Acts, Paul sets his face toward Jerusalem, and several men that were Holy Spirit filled said, don't do it. You're going towards your death. You're going toward bondage. They're going to lock you in chains, Paul. And Paul said, I've set my mark. I'm marching towards Him. I've laid my life down for Him. And he goes to Jerusalem. And what do? They bind him in chains. I can't understand it. He knew that was going to happen. He could have spent out his years preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. But for whatever reason, God wanted him to go to Jerusalem and give his life. Paul went to Jerusalem. They bound him up, locked him up. But because Paul did that, he got to stand before kings and give them a testimony. One of them, most of us probably know the story, King Agrippa, the Bible says he shook. And God and King Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Paul said, "I were that thou were almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds." Paul said, "I'm pressing towards the mark. It don't matter if it's costing me my life. I'm going to do what God's called me to do." See, a lot of us, we think, well, in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches." But we don't give our life to him, and we're not serving him. We forget the part of the verse. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." When we're not serving him, when we're not in Christ Jesus, if you're not in Christ, if you've never been saved, he don't have to take care of your needs. You're not his. The Bible says you're a bastard. You belong to the devil. The devil's your father. He doesn't have to take care of any of your needs. He's only responsible for those that are his children. And then it's according to Christ. In Christ. Serving Christ. He's responsible for taking care of our needs. Problem is, most of us now, we're so caught up in our wants that we're so knee-deep in debt, knee-deep in the world, that when God does supply for our needs, we're having to spend it on all of our wants. Most of us with kids, we know. We tell our kids, there's a difference between needs and wants. We'll take care of your needs, and we'll give you some of your wants, but we're not going to take care of all of them. Kids want everything, you know. For years, we either didn't have TV or we had where you streamed service and there was no commercials. When we started doing deputation and we'd stay in hotel rooms and we'd find stuff on TV and the kids started watching TV commercials, guess what happened? They suddenly needed a lot of things. Nobody when God preached against them things, man. My kids didn't even know this junk existed. They go to Walmart and they walk right by it, don't even pay no attention before they start down with it. But when they get it on a commercial, "Oh, wow, look at that. Mama, we need this. Daddy, I need that." You need that, you made it through all of your life, and suddenly you need that one thing. Be good to tell our kids no. I know I'm preaching to myself this morning. I'm the world's worst for not telling my kids no. God had to give me four girls instead of the boys. Boys, I'd have told them no all day long. There's just something about little girls, man, that just... Paul said, "I press towards the mark." In chapter 2, here's where Paul, when Paul's talking about it, he said, "I'm a servant of Jesus Christ." There in verse number 1 in chapter 2 of Philippians, he says in verse number 5, or he's talking about Jesus Christ here, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus," who we just showed who God or who Jesus was. He's God in the flesh. He purchased you with his blood. But Paul says here, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Listen, when we march, when we are giving our life towards Christ, we're to give ourselves as servants, just as Paul did. That's all we are. We're his servants. Listen, I've been bought with a price, the precious blood. I'm God's. I mean, we think so much. But preacher, man, I love God. I love God. That's right. You love God enough that you want to be saved, but not enough that you want to serve him. Not enough that you won't serve him. I've been bought with a price. I mean, we're remodeling our house now. If you want us to come over and do some work, I'll direct you in the way that I want you to work. But I'd be offended when y'all come over and started tearing down walls in my house and changing the outside color, because there's some colors I just don't like on the outside. But somehow we think that we can do these things to ourselves. I'm just relating it now. I'm just relating something easy to relate to. But it goes through everything of your life. We think, listen, I know people think, well, preacher, you're crazy. We ought to pray about as much as we can. We would like, well, I need a new car, so I'm going to go out and get one. Why don't you pray about it first? But I know I need one. Well, I know that I've needed pipe wrenches for a while, but somehow God just let me get by with it. I had to actually need them so much that some of the other tools I couldn't get by with. I needed some other tools that I desperately needed, but I just borrowed here and there things to get by with for now. And you know what happened just the other week? Man, God blessed the other day. I got four different size pipe wrenches that I've been wanting. Didn't have to pay a dime for them. I've got a bunch of other tools that I needed to do things around the house for free. God just blessed. Sometimes, you know, why does he do that? To be an example to others. And God may not blame him like that for you, but it's still, listen, if you're his, if we're claiming that we're saved and we belong to him because we've been bought with a price, then we ought to be spending his money correctly. We ought to be spending our days correctly. We ought to listen before we go jumping ship on some job. Well, I'm going to make a lot more money doing this, da da da. You ought to pray for him. Because God don't want you, I don't care if you're going from $10 an hour to $25 an hour, if you're going from a good job that keeping you in church and letting you serve God to drive a beer truck and being out of church on Sunday, guess what? It ain't God's will. We got to be very careful. We are bought with a price. I mean, can you imagine that? Do you think, Paul, the Bible says, when God spoke to Ananias to go to Paul to give him back his sight, he said, I'm showing him what things he must suffer for my name's sake. You know what that tells me? It tells me Paul's one of the few people that God can trust that right from the start, he's going to tell him everything he's going to suffer for him. And Paul still did it anyway. God told me everything that I had to go through in this Christian life 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago when I got saved, November 2000. I don't know if I'd want to endure that. I don't know, man, if I'd want. Very few people, if they were told exactly what Paul said, God told Ananias, I'll show him what things he must suffer for my name. Most of us would have just walked away then. But that's where his grace is sufficient to get us. Ain't no way we could. If you'd have told me in November of 2000 or December 2000, right after I got saved, that I'd end up in a little town in Kansas, I'd tell you you're crazy. Ain't nobody going to understand me. Ain't nobody going to want to talk to me. But here we are 20 years later. My life is to be about him. My life's to be towards him. Number three, my life is to be for Christ. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at the verse before that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. We talked about this many times, even now this morning. He says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we read verse 20. Look at verse number 19. Kids, you need to know this. If you're saved, verse number 19, what? Paul says, what? He's asking a question. You don't know this? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You're not your own. We live like we're our own, and we do what we want to. I know that you can do whatever you... Listen, I'm about to tell you something from the heart. I know that you can do whatever you want to. I'm thankful that you choose to be here this morning. But if some of you did what you do to the church and things, if you did your job that way, you wouldn't have a job come Monday. We say that we love God and we say we're dedicated to God. But we don't think anything about skipping church. But we wouldn't dare. Listen, why don't you try that tomorrow? Don't call your job. Don't go by work. Just don't show up tomorrow and see what happens. Do it 2 or 3 days and see what happens. I know what'll happen. I'm saying this out of love. It hurts. It hurts me. And if it hurts me, I know it's got to hurt the one that bought you. My life is supposed to be for Christ. He said, we're bought with a price. We're not our own. The problem is most of us, even after we're saved, continue to live like we're our own person. We continue to do the things that we want to do. He says in verse number, back over here in Philippians chapter number 1, he said, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, verse number 11. Being filled with being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. My life, Paul's life, was for Christ. Paul testified, he said, I haven't done, there's another place, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I haven't done anything else that anybody else couldn't do. He said, I just labored more abundantly in the grace of God. There is nothing that we do except for preach. God, I believe there is a calling to preach. I believe that you have to have a calling on your life. There's nothing that we do serving God. Listen, we're going to have Sunday school teachers. We're going to have people step up and want to be nursery workers. The more nursery workers there are, the better it is, because then they can rotate and everybody gets to be able to get some preaching in. My life is to be for Christ. Paul said, I went through all these things for the furtherance of the gospel. Maybe that's why I go through a lot of these things, because I wouldn't preach as hard as I do if I hadn't gone through some of these things. Verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. Paul went through all these things we just talked about. We talked about it, and I said it. Man, maybe that's why he went through. Why, Paul? You knew that God told you when you went to Jerusalem they're going to lock you up. The Bible says, though, he went through all those things for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it would be manifest in all the palace, from the top to the bottom. You know, when you read the book of Acts, you ought to think about that. Those last few chapters there where Paul's standing before kings because of the furtherance of the gospel. Here we are in 2020, and we're living in a very... I know what's going on, man. A lot of this, all this stuff going on in our country right now, it's demonic. They are very, very upset. I don't know if President Trump's saved. I highly doubt it, because his mouth testifies. But I do believe, after hearing Mike Pence's testimony and a missionary, I listened to a missionary that's at our home church just a few weeks ago. This man's heard Mike Pence's testimony. He gives a very biblical account of being saved and God turning him from his sin. I believe that the devil hates it, that our president's got a bunch of people around him that are saved and want to see him saved and want to see this country turn back to God. And the devil hates it. And he's using this opportunity right now to try to turn this country back to him. And God's saying, just give me one more chance. See, the Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. At one time, every nation knew who God was, because the Bible tells us, Paul said at one time, the gospel had gone to the world, to the whole world. Missionaries went out. We think, all these tribes in South America and all, the Bible tells, and I'd rather believe the Bible than what man teaches, because man teaches a lot of things that are false. Paul said at one time, the gospel went around the world. I believe that our president does that. I don't, like I said, I don't think he's saved. I think he's doing the best that his flesh knows how. But I'm thankful. I believe he's got some men and women around him that are saved, that are trying to give him some godly leadership. And we ought to pray, because the devil don't like it. And I'm thankful that people that are giving their life, just like Paul did, that they can take the gospel. That missionary I was telling you about, he was pastoring church. I heard his testimony. Maybe I'd love to have him in. He was here in Kansas just a few months ago. Our pastor told us about him. He was up in Junction City, but I didn't get the chance to go to the meeting. This man was a pastor, I think he said, in Tennessee.
And God laid it on his heart, started working his heart, that he was going to be a missionary to the government. And he said he's had pastors and people make fun of him. He said, that's not a mission. That's not a mission. He said, it's biblical. Paul went to him. God has given him the ability now. I was listening to him. He has had the opportunity. He was able to put a devotional in the hand of Jerry Nadler, right? Jerry Nadler from New York, the man from New York. He's been able to go through. He said, man, he said, it's wicked up there. He said, you walk by the offices and there's those gay pride flags and all this other bunch of reprobate flags hanging up. He said, they absolutely need somebody to give the gospel. But he's not just going to the federal government. He goes to the state governments as well. And he's been given the opportunity to go into a lot of state governments and pray with some of these people. And again, I'd love to. If he's in a meeting out here one day, maybe we'll be able to go as a church or maybe even have him in. But, I hope that he goes to our state government. Not because just the governor, but I believe there's a lot of representatives. Just because somebody believes politically the same way that I think doesn't mean that I believe they're saved. We all pray for our nation. Paul said, my life is for Christ. He said, it's for whatever he wants it to use it for. Listen, we talk about this, and we talked about this early on. I hadn't said it lately. But Romans 12:1 says that I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Listen, if my life is for Christ, then I ought to present my life to God, my body to Him, and say, Lord, use it wherever. Listen, we tell our daughters, and I'm serious, I would rather my daughters be in some lost third world country, their lives being in danger, and then being the will of God saved, than to be right here beside of me in Kansas lost. Nothing. John said, I have no greater joy than to know my children walk in truth. I would rather my kids be used in this life for Christ than to have some fancy secular job. So many parents push their kids for secular jobs. None of them push for their kids to be a preacher or missionary or a preacher's wife anymore. My life is to be for Him. Finally, my life's to be about Christ. My life's to be towards Christ. My life's for Christ. Last of all, you need to realize your life is in Christ. If it wasn't for Him, you wouldn't be alive. A lot of people don't know and maybe not pay attention, not realize. Listen, your life is in Christ. He made you alive. You're dead in trespasses and in sins, the Bible says. You're dead as a sinner. Turn with me to Ephesians. Turn back just a few pages. Ephesians chapter 2. A lot of us know these verses, some of these verses. But do you know what that means? Verse number 1. Ephesians 2, verse number 1. If I were to go around this room right now and ask you what that quicken means. Does anybody in here know what the word quicken means? Anybody know what the word quicken means? And you hath he quickened. Quicken means to make alive. When you see that word quicken in the Bible, it means He made you alive. You're dead in trespasses and sin. And you hath He quickened. And you hath He made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. What's the penalty of sins? Death. But we're made alive. My life is in Christ because He made me alive. I'm having the greatest time of my life. We were here yesterday. My kids thought I was just losing it, man. I just like to sing sometimes. I know I ain't the best singer. I wear my throat out, and that's okay. I'm having a good time. I'm having the time of my life. I get down sometimes because things don't go my way. God tries to pick me back up, and I try to keep myself back down. But I'm thankful that I'm not alive for myself. I've been made alive in Jesus Christ. We sat here yesterday, man. It ain't one of our songs, but man, I wish I could get some of us to sing. Oh, happy day when Jesus took my sins far away. Listen, it's about Him. It's all about Him. If you can't sing that happy, if you're not happy, if there's no joy in your life, it's because you're not it. You may not get up and be as loud and scream and holler like I do. There ought to be something in your life. And you that are saved, you that are His, you that are bought with the price by the blood of Jesus, and you had to be quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Wherein in time past, what does past mean? Before I got saved, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And before I got saved, in my past, I lived like that. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, man. There's no doubt in my mind. The things I'm ashamed of, the Bible tells us, I think it's Romans 6, verse 21, the things whereof you're now ashamed. Goodness, man, I worked around as an electrician. I worked, the crew that I worked on was at least five or six of the guys that I went to school with. And they all knew me before I got saved. They seen the difference God made in their life, in my life. But I'm still ashamed of those things. I'm ashamed of them. If you're not ashamed of them, it's because you're not changed. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh. We've all, me and us men that are honest, and those of us that got to a certain age before we got saved, we were that way. We did things lusting in our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Those are things that you do before you get saved. Fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who's rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath, there it is again, quickened us together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen, I know I'm here physically. I know that you see me and I'm here in the flesh. But spiritually, I'm in heavenly places right now with Christ. My mind's already there. Jesus said, set not your affections on things on earth, but on things in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We've been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But here's what He says after. Listen, you didn't save yourself. He saved you. He brought about repentance in your life. He's the one that quickens you because you were dead in trespasses and sins. And now in verse number 10 says, because He's done that, He's appointed you to do something. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I don't work to be saved. I don't preach to be saved. I do it because I am saved. I didn't leave my whole family behind I didn't leave what I'd known for 37, 35, whatever years it was when we moved here, 36 years. I didn't do that to continue my salvation. I did it because I'm saved. Why am I faithful to church? Because I'm saved. Why am I faithful to give? Because I'm saved. Why am I faithful to support missionaries? Because I'm saved. Why am I faithful to witness to people, pass out tracts, and invite people to church? Because I'm saved. I've been saved unto good works. We don't work. Listen, men, we don't work to be married. We work because we are married. We do the things we do for our wives because we are married. Because we love them. It's time we started that with Jesus. He says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. One other verse. Turn back over to Philippians chapter 2. I stopped short of this and was reading. Actually, I didn't read it. I skipped this. Philippians chapter number 2, when Paul was talking about pressing towards the mark and doing what we're supposed to, and how we're talking about my life is in God. I like what verse number 12 says in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul said, listen, you did a lot while I was there, but after I've left, you've done more, and now you've worked out your salvation. Not that you had to work for your salvation, but you worked it out. You showed us. There's a difference. My life is in Christ. For to me to live is Christ. Paul said, well, I'm alive. He said, I've got no choice but to serve Christ. That's what that's saying there in verse 21. For to me to live is Christ. I've got no choice because I'm His. I've been bought with a price. I've got no choice. If you're His this morning, you've got no choice. You belong to Him. How would you feel if somebody done something to your car today? How would you feel if somebody just randomly come up to your car and took your wheels off and put some different ones on there and said, well, I know that you own the car, but I decided I want it to look different. That's how God feels when we do things that we're not supposed to. We're His. We're bought with a price. For to me to live is Christ. Listen, our life is to be about Christ. Everything we do should resemble Him and talk about Him. My life is towards Christ. I press towards the mark. My life is for Christ. I'm to serve Him. And finally, my life is in Christ. I couldn't quicken myself. I can't make myself alive. I couldn't make myself alive no more than if I dig up a plant and let the roots die, I could bring it back to life. I know some different plants can be brought back to life. But just as a leaf is severed from a tree, you can't bring it back to life. You can't make life of yourself. He says that you have to abide in the vine. We're just the branches. And that life is in Christ Jesus. Let's all stand this morning. Is your life about Him? Is your life about Him this